Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 25th of July, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asian stock markets, China took a hit following the train crash. A concern over safety in the railroad industry, which is hugely important in China, needless to say. The ASEAN sector was firm, not least Singapore getting having a good day, and elsewhere India was also quite firm, going against what was an easier trend in most markets. India was boosted by evidence that they are opening up the economy to more foreign companies participating. Okay, European stock markets mostly lower, although the DAX ended up a quarter of 1%. The America's markets closed weaker. The Dow and the Nasdaq were down just over half of a percentage point. The Dow, I think the S&P and the Nasdaq just over half a percentage point. The Dow a little bit more. U.S. long-dated government bond prices fell. They rose in Europe. The U.S. dollar was a little bit weaker. 74.12 on the US dollar index. Now, precious metals rallied but closed well off the highs. For instance, as I speak, gold's up to 116.14, but it had been $10 higher at the high early today. And silver is currently at $40.29, had been up to $41.10. Platinum was down a little bit, palladium up a couple of bucks. Industrial metals were mostly a little bit lower, with the exception of aluminium. Soft commodities, mostly lower. Coffee was an exception. Rough rice was also an exception, but soybeans and corn both closed lower, although off the lows. Crude oil is also lower here by about 75 cents today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, I've been describing it in my recent audios as an event-driven market environment. The big event in terms of importance, I felt, was the European sovereign debt crisis that was traumatizing the European Union. And while Thursday's news was very well received, by Friday, the sharp decline, it must be admitted, very sharp decline in bond yields of the periphery countries, they had begun to steady, and today we saw two of those yields, Spain and Italy, rally really quite sharply. So they've retraced over half, or approximately half, of the very sharp drop that they saw on Thursday and early last Friday. So that's a concern, and it hit their stock markets with the Italian MIB index, for instance, down 2.5%, and the Spanish IBEX index down almost 1.9%. Those were by far the biggest declines that we had in Europe. So the hope and my hunch on this is that really this crisis has been dealt with here for the short term, but it's not fully resolved. And I think the long, hard slog, obviously, it's not fully resolved, and the long, hard slog that lies ahead, I feel, is one of fiscal policy union. Now, that's something that was not voted on back 11 or so years ago when they were, Europe was preparing to launch the euro, and it's not something that was politically feasible. It was seldom mentioned. But I think any commentator, and certainly our view, was that you're not going to have a successful single currency on the basis of monetary policy alone. There was a lot of talk about that at the time. But the euro got off to a reasonably decent start. And did okay for a few years, but the problem was always, the problems were always going to arise when there was a significant recession. And we certainly had that in 2008, the rest you know. But I think that the long term, not only the survivor, the ability to survive, but also the viability of the euro does depend on this fiscal union. And I think countries are much more resigned to that now at this stage, and probably regard it, or beginning to regard it, as a good thing. But what about the markets here in the short term? Well, I'd be wary of the periphery markets because of these ongoing problems overall. Germany is very much the powerhouse, and I think will remain the top performer here now among the Euroland market, largely due to the very competitive position that their world-class multinational engineering companies are in. That's a theme that we've often mentioned here on Fuller Money. Now, what else to mention here today? The precious metals. They had rallied very sharply here earlier today. Well, the talk, the scuttlebutt on the television channels was that a lot of this had to do with concern over the U.S. debt situation. Now, I think that's by far the lesser of the two events, because I feel that they will come up with some sort of deal. There's concern, of course, that various Tea Party representatives really want to hang tough on this, but the sensible Republicans are going to remember, and that's getting close to an oxymoron, but not quite there, are going to, that's a little bit political for me, I'll apologize that to deter emails pointing it out. But the wiser heads, I'll put it that way, in the Republican Party are going to remember Newt Gingrich's stalling on the deficit ceiling when he was a presidential candidate before Clinton's second term. And the Republicans took the blame for that ceiling delay fiasco. And I don't think they'll want to repeat that again. But of course, this is just the headline event. The bigger problem, the much more serious problem in my view, is that the rating agencies are talking about the U.S. losing its AAA rating at some point. Now, whether they have the nerve to do it, certainly I feel that it would be justified on any sort of prudent rating, but this is a big political deal here, needless to say. So that's the really important issue here, and I suspect we'll get a deal on the deficit ceiling, but what's going to have to happen is that there is going to have to be some sort of credible, really credible deficit reduction program. Now, that's only a common sense thing. The U.S. certainly needs that. And I feel that without it, it's just only a matter of time and not that much before we get a blowout on the U.S. long government bond yields to the upside. So again, if a credible deficit reduction deal and yields maybe stay down at these quite low levels historically, and certainly low under the circumstances for longer. But that deal does need to be struck. And I'm talking about not raising the ceiling, I'm talking about cutting expenditure. So gold and silver will certainly be reflecting all that. Now, let's look at them in context of the seasonal characteristics, which have been so astonishingly consistent over the last decade. And 2011, an odd year number, odd number year, that's when the precious metals have had some of their biggest rises, and rising on average of about $300 for the price of gold. And you could allow for a bigger move than that on a percentage basis in this current environment. So that's the upside potential. I think something up in the $1,900 to $2,000 range between now and say the end of the first quarter. Now, will we get that seasonal consistency? Don't know. No one can know, but we seem to be on course for that. If anything, the market's firm ahead of schedule. In other words, we've been getting new highs in gold bullion. Started last month. No, it started this month. We're still in July. And that's well ahead of the September period when that usually occurs. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule. I don't think that means that the gold price is going to be more subdued. I think it probably means that it'll be more buoyant to the pleasure of many investors worldwide. I've got an important interview that I led off with. It's Paul Walker of GFMS, and talking about gold, and he's really underlined what's also been our view for a very long time, that it's going to be an eventual jump in interest rates when U.S. long-dated interest rates go up to some sort of meaningful levels. In other words, that's when gold is going to encounter a stiff headwind, and I think that'll end the game. High interest rates are what would really choke off this bull market, but meanwhile, we can go quite a bit higher, as I've just indicated. Expect some volatility with that, including. I've often mentioned contagion as a risk if the stock market was too weak. Well, it's certainly not showing that right now, although Wall Street is overbought following its very good run in the Nasdaq's new high on Friday. But I would look for a little bit of volatility because we always tend to get that. And if the U.S. Congress does actually lift the debt ceiling and steps forward with some reasonable debt reduction measures, don't be surprised if that creates another buying opportunity in precious metals. In other words, don't be surprised if they ease on that news. Crude oil still a headwind at these levels for the global economy. I would hate to see that Brent blend go up above the $120 level. And with each dollar that it did, that headwind would be intensifying. The problem is mitigated a little bit by the weakness of the US dollar, but not all that much. So that would be a significant problem generally. And I think that's pretty much it on this day in which gold hit a new high in US dollars. All the best.